don't want to be an actor. I guess I just thought I did because I was doing it for so long and it just wasn't making me happy anymore. So I was like, okay, well, what do I want?
Get ready for Big Guy Small Talk. Introduce yourself, Alicia. Just see.
Okay. Hi, I'm Felicia Macias, and I live in Los Angeles, and I'm from a small town in Monahans. All right, I'm from a small town called Monahans.
Yeah, we grew up together. You were saying that earlier. So, we were talking about voice acting, and you did voice acting, right?
Yeah, so like what I was saying, it's kind of all in the same realm of acting. Like, it's all, the way you get jobs is kind of all the same thing. So basically what there is there's online websites, and there used to be a newspaper called Backstage, where it had, like, everything actor, like, if you wanted to be in a movie, or if you wanted to do commercials, or want agents, anything like that, or voiceover. It was all in a newspaper.
Okay.
And then, you know, the internet boom happened, and now it's just, like, all online. So there's these, like, four main ones that you can sign up for. And you have to pay monthly, and it's kind of a lot. And then you have to pay to upload pictures and pay to upload, like, audio, pay to upload all kinds. Yeah, it's really a scam, to be quite honest. Yeah. But that's how you get work as an actor, and it's crazy. So basically, it's this website that just lists all, like, millions of jobs, and from things that don't pay anything to things that pay, like, $20 to things that are, like, you know, lots of money.
Like thousands of dollars.
Definitely, yeah.
What was the...
So you just...
What was the, like, craziest voice acting you've done?
So with voice acting, I didn't get... Right? I haven't gotten any jobs voice acting. I don't think so.
Okay.
Just acting. And then I wanted to do voice acting, and I really liked it, and then I just was kind of like, I don't know. since I didn't get anything, I was kind of like turned off by it.
Right. So what took you to LA? I'm almost positive I know the answer to that, but I want to hear your story.
Acting.
Okay. So it was acting. So did you go straight? Cause I like did not talk to you much when I didn't talk to really anyone when I left, but when did you leave straight from Monahans to LA, or did you do something in between that?
So I went from Monahans, graduated from high school, went straight from a small town to New York City.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So I went straight to New York City. And I went to theater school. So basically all we learned was theater. Some film, but mostly theater, like stage combat, dance, stuff like that.
That's awesome. Theater. Which school is it?
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
It's called AMDA, the American Musical and Dramatic Academy.
That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, dude. It was pretty cool. The only crappy thing is that I didn't get a degree. But that's okay. Who needs one?
Yeah.
But, you know, I paid the amount of money I should have gotten a degree for.
Right. Yeah. That too can be a scam.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, I just moved out there, did that for 2 years, and just tried to do theater for, I was in New York City for 9 years.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know how I look back and I'm like, how in the world did I live in this cold place with all these people and, like, so expensive and, you know, I don't know. Have you been out there to New York?
I have never been in New York City. I want to visit, like, at least Manhattan, you know? I hear it's really nice. So I have a buddy who lives there now, so he'll put us up. He has, like, a 3-bedroom apartment. He said he would let me stay there. Yeah, he's got to be making a lot of money to afford that in Manhattan, I think. So
totally.
he's doing well for himself, but I want to go. It looks cool. I like. I got really into the photographer, Bill Cunningham. Do you know who he is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I got really into him, and I think I'd like to go to New York just to kind of. I don't know, like to visit streets that he would go on, or if they have anything for Bill Cunningham, I'd like to see that. He's just like, mm-hmm. he's a beautiful soul.
That's know? Sweet.
Yeah, he's awesome. I dig Beau Cunningham, and you know, just what he stood for. I don't yeah. know. Have you seen that one documentary about him on Netflix?
Yeah, I saw it.
You did? It's awesome.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it's good.
It was beautiful. What a good man. What a good man. I actually ordered a shirt with him on it and his blue coat from, I guess, this on Etsy from this woman who makes them in Canada. And I feel so bad because, like, it took forever for it to get here. And I was like, the shirt never got in. So she sent another one. And then the other shirt got in. So I got two of them. So, you know, with Etsy, if it was, like, on Amazon or something, I wouldn't feel so bad. But Etsy, these are people who are, like, it's like their hustle. This is how
yeah,
they're
totally.
Definitely making a living. So I felt bad and just paid her for both. I was like, you're just...
Oh, that's yeah. so sweet.
Yeah, she was super sweet. Freaking Canadians, man. They're nice people.
Such nice people.
So you went from New York. Anything crazy happened in New York over the 9 years other than your whole life?
Yeah, seriously. I just... What a way to grow up, you know? Yeah. To like really... You know, because you think you're grown and then... You're not, really. Even now, you know, you think you're grown at age 29. What are you, 30? 31?
Yeah, I'm like 31 now.
Yeah, you still think you're grown. And then it's like, well, think of all the things you learned in the past 10 years. And think of all the things you're probably going to learn in the next 10 years.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, I feel like I'm never going to grow up.
I know. It's a good feeling.
Like that whole idea of that I think we had as kids of like adulthood is... A myth that our parents put on, and we're just...
I know, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it was so much a myth as it was that's what adulthood to them was, you know. In our generation, it's so different.
Yeah, with technology and social media and everything, the political environment's different. We're just a very especially where we grew up, it was like people went to work and came home and like hung out with, it was like very 1950s-ish almost.
And it maybe has a lot to do with Monahans itself, like just a small town feel, you know.
Okay, cool. So you're in New York. How was it there? Was it super expensive, like people say? I don't know.
Yeah. So rent was pretty expensive for sure. But I, you know, I live in Los Angeles now, and it's the same. So I really have nothing to compare it to other than when I tell people the price, they're like, what, you pay that much? You know, like right now we pay for one bedroom $1,465.
Jeez, if you spent that much on rent here, you would be living a good life here,
like a king.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah, so it was about the same in New York, about $1,400-$1,500. It was just such a lifestyle, you know, like you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, I'm going to start my day, and you walk outside and there's people everywhere. It smells like dog shit in the summer. You know, there's homeless people like on the streets, there's trash everywhere. And then you never just get time to yourself because you walk outside, there's people. Then you go to the train because you have to take the train to wherever it is you're going, and there's people on the train. You know, you go to work, same thing, come home. The only time you get to yourself is in your room.
Damn. Yeah, that sounds like not a fun... It sounds fun, and then, I mean, obviously not fun, you know?
I mean, it's fun because you can go out to the bars. They're open till 4 o'clock in the morning, you know? You can get, like, wasted and then just get on the train, you know? And that's fun.
But other than that, yeah, that's a lot of people. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. One time I was on the train, and I was, like, sitting there reading my book. And then I, like, kind of look around, and I notice, like, nobody's sitting next to me, and I'm like... What's going on? So I like look in front of me, and there's a homeless man masturbating like right in front of my face, and no one tells me. They just all move to the other side of the train, and I'm like, "Are you kidding me?"
Damn. What kind of book were you reading? Maybe it was.
I don't even remember. It's probably like Lolita or something.
No, that's funny. That's crazy though. So that's a thing. Like I hear that, and I'm like, "Oh no, it can't be that bad." Is it pretty bad?
It's that bad.
A lot of public masturbation in New York.
Public masturbation, public. Pooping, you know. Whoa. Definitely, yeah, people just poop.
That's a shame that we don't provide something.
I know,
porta potties
really
or something.
Something.
Yeah, or like that hotels won't let people come in and just use the bathroom, which you can't blame them, but at the same time it's like that's someone who just needs to go potty. Like, just, I know. Just let them go potty.
And that's like New York, though. It's like New York is that city that doesn't have public restrooms. Like, there aren't any.
Whoa. So.
And if you've happened to come across one, which is like a Starbucks, it's like the most scariest thing you've ever seen.
Oh, really?
Like, inside? Because it's just like, you know, yeah, it's just gross. It's dirty. It's bad.
Damn. Well, so now you're in LA, right?
Yeah.
When did you move?
You know, I sounded really negative about New York. No. I will say Newark was awesome. I definitely had some good times. It was fun. Met lots of people. Got to act a lot in theater, and you know, it was a good time.
So Felicia, so for the listeners out there, Felicia had like the reputation in school of being like the nicest person in the entire school. Absolutely. And so I just felt like that was very you. Like, like, wait, hold on. I don't want to end on that note. That's not okay. Which is cool.
That's
cool
to know.
Which is why, like, everyone loves you. You know, everyone wants you to do well and succeed. So,
aww, yeah. Yes.
But, so you're in LA now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess, tell me about that just a little bit. I have questions to ask you, but I kind of want to let you just talk.
Sure. So the reason I moved to LA was because mostly I was sick of the cold and I was sick of doing theater that wasn't paying me crap. You know, I would work these jobs that I didn't like, being a server, you know, being a retail, whatever, and go to theater, you know, in the evening and just never get paid for anything. And then being like, crap, I have to quit this job so I can do this theater show. And then like, how am I supposed to pay my rent? You know, it's just, I was really just sick of it. It's hard when you love something, but it doesn't give back to you in that sense. You know what I mean?
Right. No, yeah. I feel you on that.
Mm-hmm.
So you went to LA, and I remember you living in New York. Now, when you said that, I was like, oh, yeah, she lives in New York. And I remember one of the things that I saw on Instagram, because I started following when I finally got an Instagram, I started following you. It took me forever to get any kind of social media that wasn't Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But you were doing like, you were picking up litter, right? For a while.
Mm-hmm.
So what was that? Tell me about all of that. What you called it, you know, just everything.
So when my fiance and I moved here, he's an amazing person. He always wants to just like help the world. He's always like, you know, I want to make this a better place for us to live in. And you know, if we have kids, for them to live in. And so it was his idea. He came up with, I just want to pick up trash. Like, I just want to go outside, fill up a bag every day. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. Like, let's go out there and let's just do it. So that's what we did. And he did this thing for 30 days straight that I was with him that we just took a bag outside, went around the block, and started picking up trash. And it's pretty amazing what happens because people see you, you know, first of all, and they're like, oh, well, these people aren't homeless? Oh, and they're picking up trash? You know, and it's like, they would thank you. Like, thank you so much. And like, you know, I can't believe you're doing this. And just like really amazing things. And then the feedback we got, we started an Instagram and we would post, you know, our trash every day and the before and after pictures. And just, I don't know, it was just really amazing, like the feedback we got. And, you know, we had friends that would come up to us and be like, hey, I cleaned up some trash because I saw trash on the floor and I thought of you guys. And, you know, that's just like really cool.
Yeah.
Because that, it really makes a difference.
No, I dig that. I like that kind of stuff. Do you, would you ever take extra trash bags with you? People wanted one.
Yeah, we always had them.
Oh, really?
And gloves.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no one ever asked us that.
So so what was the Instagram called?
Clean Up LA.
Clean Up LA. Are you still on it?
Mm-hmm.
So Clean Up LA with a K for those of you who want to get involved. No, yeah.
Yeah.
I think
seriously, just take a trash bag, go outside. It takes like 10 minutes. You'll fill it up. I promise.
Wow. That's a shame, though, right? Like, in only 10 minutes, you're filling up trash bags with litter.
I know. Jeez. Literally, like, we just barely walked up the block when we would fill up a trash bag. But the cool thing was that after so long, we started having to, like, go far to find trash.
Oh, okay.
You know, and that was really cool.
Dude, that sounds really cool. So you did that, and then I've seen you. Have you done commercials? Or is that, I know your mm-hmm. fiance did a commercial, too, right?
Yeah, his recently just came out for Safe Auto. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I did one for, what is it called? Do you remember what it's called? The college? The commercial I did? Oh, the Southern Career Institute.
Ah, so how did you get
that's
that?
over there. So same thing. Well, when I moved here, I got an agent, and she was a commercial agent, so she was able to send me out on auditions. So basically what I was doing was auditioning almost every day. I would say I would average, like, I don't know, maybe like 15 auditions a month, 15 to 20 a month, and then I would maybe get called back for one in like 5 months, and then book something in like, you know, in those 5 months.
Yeah.
So it was like a lot of auditioning, not booking a lot of things. That's kind of because the competition is so high here.
Right. So then how do you get an agent?
So the way I got an agent was I literally sat down on my computer and reached out to about 100 different agents.
Wow.
And just sent them my materials, my reel, my, you know, resume, just everything. And then I think 3 got back to me.
Wow.
And then 1 wanted to sign with me.
Wow. I did not realize it was that competitive to get an agent.
It's so competitive. And then not only that, so then when you go into the auditions, it's like you walk into a room with like 20 people who look just like you, you know, because the breakdown tells you what they want. So short, brown-haired, brown-eyed girl, okay. Oh, my God, there's 20 people who look just like me. It's insane. And then, you know, usually they tell you, like, what to wear. So then you're all wearing the same thing. It's just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's like a little army.
Yeah,
it's I'm weird. Just imagining that. That's really funny. Okay, so then how did that audition process go for that commercial you did?
For that specific commercial, I remember that very well, actually, because, you know, as with anything, you kind of get burnt out and tired. And, you know, I had been, I don't know, that was probably my second audition that day. And just, like I said, going on so many auditions and just not booking anything really wears on you. So I remember that specific day, I was in my car, and before I went in, I said, okay, if I don't get this job, I'm going to stop. I'm just going to stop because I'm just kind of sick of it. I'm sick of not getting anything. I'm sick of being rejected. You know, it's been 10 years I've been trying to act, you know?
Wow.
And so I go in and I'm like kind of, I'm almost kind of like, it's whatever. Like, I'm just gonna do it. I'm just gonna like do my best and like not be nervous about it. And I guess that was the key because then I got a call back and then I got the job. And then when they called me to tell me I got the job, it was in, babe, do you remember what state it was in where they flew me?
Missouri.
So it was in Missouri. So then they flew me out to Missouri. And there was a person there waiting with my name on the piece of cardboard.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was like, it was really cool, but it was like a really small airport with one terminal. And it was really cool because they put me up in a nice hotel and like we got to film the whole next day. I don't know. I felt like a celebrity.
Yeah. Well, you were. Yeah. That's a big deal.
I was.
So how was it filming? How was it on a film set? That was for you.
It was cool. Yeah. I've been on lots of film sets. But commercials are fun, especially because everyone just kind of wants to have fun, you know? Everyone's like, this is a job for everyone. It's like no one's passion project because it's a commercial, you know?
Yeah.
So everyone was just kind of like, well, let's just make the best of it. Like, whatever. You know, yeah. As opposed to, like, I've been on a Lifetime shoot where they're like, this has to be perfect, you know? It's like, has to go this way. And
what did you do with Lifetime?
It's stressful. I've done a couple of things. So I was a waitress on one movie called Her Forgotten Daughter. Hi.
Sorry.
Tell them I said hi.
Yeah, they walked away already. So start over. So what did you do with Lifetime?
I was a waitress on this movie called Her Forgotten Daughter.
Okay.
And then I got hired as a juggler. I forgot what the movie was called, but like some movie. But I was a juggler, and that was pretty cool because I like juggling.
Yeah.
What else have I done? So was it the Element Channel? I did like these reenactment things. Like, do you know how they have, like, somebody gets murdered, and it's like,
oh, yeah.
I'll play the murder victim, you know, or something
yeah, I
like
hear
that.
You.
Yeah. So I've done some of those. Yeah, stuff like that.
That's cool. So just, like, getting your foot in the door and some little stuff here and there. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
So there's, like, a lot of things that I want to ask you. But the first one I'll ask is, when and why did you want to learn to juggle? Or have you always known? And I just never knew that about you.
No, I learned in New York City for a theater show, for a children's theater show, that I got an audition for, and it was like, must learn how to juggle. Only apply if you learn know how to juggle. And I was like, sure, I'll apply. And I did not know how to juggle. So I sat in my living room for like literally all day long and just was like, okay, I'm gonna learn how to juggle, watching YouTube videos and just like over and over and over until I finally got it for this audition.
Right.
And thankfully, I got the job because that's how I met my fiance. He
Oh.
was also in the children's theater, and we toured for 6 months, just me, him, and a stage manager. And then
Oh, that must have been
the rest
fun.
is history. It was fun, but we had to keep our relationship a secret, which was
Naughty.
just kind of a bummer. Yeah,
Naughty, naughty.
that was fun too.
So, that is one thing I noticed is like, so I watched your, so what is your YouTube channel's name? Because I know that was a big thing recently, right? You took a vote to see what
Yeah,
you
so I
wanted to do with your
still.
YouTube channel.
Okay. So right now it's Felicia Marie, but it's Learn It, like, is what I call it. Learn It. But I was gonna make it Learn It, but there's already so many Learn It. And so I was like, okay, so I think I'm gonna change it to Learn It with Felicia Marie.
Gotcha. Or Felicia Marie learns it. But I like learn
Yeah.
it with Felicia Marie. That sounds more inviting, I think.
I think so too, because
That's.
it's, I mean, that's what you're doing. You're learning it with me because I'm learning it as well, you
So,
know?
right. So, what are some things that you've learned so far on your channel?
I learned how to do a headstand. That was my very first thing I learned,
How long did it
and
take
that
you?
was pretty cool. That took me about 4 hours.
Wow. And you show the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what's cool about your videos is it shows you. I like that you keep in, you show the learning process, right? Like, it's difficult, it's difficult, it's difficult, it's a little easier, it's a little, and then it just shows you, like, learning it at the end of it.
Exactly, yeah.
But I think the one thing that I love is that it's just persistence, right? Like, a lot, I think a lot of people wonder, I'll never be able to do that. And it's like, here you are, and you show time lapses, like, this girl doing something for just hours on end until she learns it.
Exactly. I mean, that's the biggest thing is that, you know, so many people are telling themselves like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And it's like, well, yeah, if you keep thinking like that, you can't do it. But I mean, you can just do it. And you know, and that's what I've noticed is like as long as you just do it and say, I'm gonna do it, you will do it,
Yeah.
you know?
So you learned a handstand. What else?
I learned handstand. I learned, what else did I learn? Oh my God. Well,
I know.
recently I learned how to eat fire.
Yeah, I was about to bring that one up. So how did that go? First of all.
The fire one was really scary to me because I am already scared of fire to begin with.
Naturally, makes
And the
sense.
reason I learned it was because I wanted to learn how to juggle fire at the time. And I had tried it before and I was really scared and I couldn't do it. So I was like, what can I do to not be so scared of this fire juggling? And I was like, I gotta eat it.
So, who did you know that ate fire?
My friend Heather, she is a fire hooper. And so we know just through the circus community, we both teach circus on the weekends.
Oh, you teach circus?
Yeah, we teach trapeze and silks.
Wow.
Yeah,
Okay,
it's
so keep
fun.
going. I want to ask you more about that in a minute. So you got her to teach you how to eat fire.
It got her, I asked her if she would do it. I told her I'd pay her in some, you know, narcotics. No, actually, it's legal here.
I know.
So
Y'all are lucky.
some of that green, and she was like, okay.
I mean, that's an acceptable payment in most places, I
I think
think. I
so.
hope so.
That's how I want to do all my payments. Excuse me, I would like to buy this steak. Here's some
Yeah.
marijuana.
So I saw that video and she was not afraid to push you. She was
Oh, yeah.
like you have to put the fire in your mouth. Like that was part of it. And you would see yourself like blowing it out a little bit before it would hit your mouth, like, oh, okay. And then she was like, no, like just do it fast. And when she just went boom and her stick was on fire and she just basically like rushes it to her face and she doesn't
Yeah.
hit her face at all. And I was like, that looked terrifying. Just even that part
Yeah.
looks scary.
It was all terrifying. And like the heat is the most terrifying thing because you can feel it and you're like, why is it so close to me? You know?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like, what am I doing? I should not be doing this. Your mind is like, stop doing it, you know?
How long did it take you to like get to do it? How many hours?
How many hours did it take? Maybe like two?
Oh,
I don't
that's
know.
not bad.
I would have to look. Maybe it might have been a little bit longer. Maybe two or three. But, I mean, if just standing there and doing this over and over for, like, 2 hours, like, that's kind of,
yeah.
It was just, like, scary. And I burned my lip, actually, the inside of it.
Oh, my gosh. How did you burn it? Did it hit you, or was it just the heat itself?
When I tried to close it one time, I closed my mouth over the part that was lit, and instead of all the way over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it closed before it should have.
Right. And did you burn your mouth early on in the process or later on in the process?
It was a little bit later.
Okay. But you still pushed through that. That's tough. Because after you burn yourself, you're like, okay, really don't want to do this. And you just kept going. Yeah.
I had to take a break, though, because I was like, freaking out. I was like, oh my gosh, like, I can't let my mind keep telling me I can't do it, because then I'm not going to. So I really just had to be like, okay, it's gonna be okay.
Yeah. No, we watched these videos in the hotel room. Me and my girlfriend watched them over Christmas, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna have her on. I was telling her all about you. I was like, she's super fun, she's really cool, and she has this cool YouTube channel. And she was watching you do that. And she was like, I don't know how the hell she's doing that. Like, that looks terrifying. And I was like, it is. It probably is. Like, but she's dedicated. And then that one, and then learning how to spin a basketball was my favorite, personally.
Dude, I love that one, but it got the least amount of views. I was like, nobody wants to watch me how to spin a basketball.
I think it's cool because it shows you just practicing a lot. Like, this isn't easy, and you just stuck with it.
Honestly, like, out of all of those videos that I've done, that one was my most challenging video, because it's so physical that you just are like, yeah, I'll be able to get it. Like, it's fine. But, like, it just won't happen. And you're like, what? Why isn't this happening? Like, so it's really just that over and over and over and over, you know, and it gets frustrating.
And it took you how many days? Because, I like, the total time was hours, right? Like, 8 hours or something?
Yeah, I tried to just do it by hours. And right. I think overall, it took me about a week and some.
Wow.
But hours, I don't actually remember how many hours. I'm so bad. I'm sorry. I should know my own
No, you're things. Fine. You're fine. I never go. I mean, I don't listen to my own podcast very often, so it makes sense. But, no, I just think it's cool. Like, I'm a firm, you know, I used to be a teacher, and I just love the idea of the growth mindset, you know, like neuroplasticity. Do you know anything about that?
Mm-mm.
So it's just, if you do something for, you know, like 21 days, that's like the quintessential time or whatever. But they did these studies in Stanford, and they had kids kind of write about their learning processes in math, and they showed that not only were they learning, but the brain was actually changing. Like, the physical brain itself is changing. And so it just, like, your brain can always change. It's just a matter of, like, being persistent with whatever you're trying to learn. And so that's why I love it. You know, watching your YouTube channel makes me, it's like a good, it's very edifying to watch it.
Yeah, that's cool. Thanks. But, like, I totally agree with you about the brain. It's just, like, you know, you get to these phases of your life where, at least I did, where I started thinking, okay, I'm like, this is what I know. I'm kind of, not that I'm done, but it's like, this is what my life is, you know? And then it's like, wait, no, you can learn so many more things. You can do so many more things, you know? And so that's why I started doing it, because I was like, I don't want to get stuck in that, you know, in that mindset. And so many people do get stuck in that, and like, I'm trying to show them you don't have to do that.
Yeah, and I think people are afraid of failure, and that's
absolutely,
you know, yeah. And I talk about that. I've talked about that a couple times on the podcast, but so I don't want to harp on it too long. But I think, you know, I've made episodes that have never aired because they, like, the audio quality sucked. It was like I did not do something right, you know, and so failure is a part of it. Like, failure is a part of life. And I think, like, they did this study on, or not study, but they looked at the life of Mozart. And he composed, like, his first major symphony at, like, 9, I believe. Right? But they looked at how much he wrote before then, and he was writing every day for years, you know, since he was like a kid. And so when he finally turned like 19 or 21 or something, that's whenever he wrote his most famous symphony. But mm-hmm. they were like, it's a numbers game, you know, like it's not, he wasn't born a genius, right? Like he practiced. And I think people have this misunderstanding of what a genius is.
Totally.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was cool. I dig it. I dig anything where it's like, just work your ass off and learn something and you'll be fine.
Yeah, so. Totally.
So tell me more about, like, why did you want to start that YouTube channel?
Okay, so this is a really fun story because, like I had said, I was living in New York City for 9 years. I moved to Los Angeles. So I was living in New York City for 9 years to be an actor. And I moved to Los Angeles to be an actor, you know, to be a film actor. Mm-hmm. And then I've always been, like, a really big believer of, like, just do what you love. If you just do what you love, everything's going to be okay. You know, just do what makes you happy. And I'd always give that advice to everybody. And then I was feeling over and over, and it was like sadness, and it was just like incompleteness, and just kind of like something is missing. So I was like, what's going on? Like, what's going on with me? I didn't find myself happy every day. I didn't find myself like looking forward to things. And I was like, this isn't me. So I sat down and, well, actually first I watched this movie called The Secret.
Okay. And I've never seen it, so feel free to tell me whatever you want.
You should totally see it. It's on Netflix, and basically what it is, it's kind of like a self-help movie, and it's about the law of attraction. Like, you can have anything you want as long as you fully believe you can have it. Mm-hmm. So that's like what it is. And so basically one of the things they tell you to do is sit down and write out exactly what you want. Like, write it out, because if you write it out and you know what you want, you will get it. So I was like, okay, cool. Oh, shit, my computer's going to die. Give me one second.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm back.
You're good. So you're explaining the movie.
Oh, so it was right. Yeah, okay. So it was like, sit down and write exactly what you want. So I was like, okay, cool. So I'm sitting down and I'm like, okay, I'll write out exactly what I want. And, you know, I wrote out like what I wanted in, like, in terms of my apartment and money and everything. And then I was like, okay, what do I want for a career? So what I've always wanted was to be an actor, right? So of course I started off by writing, oh, I want to be, you know, this actor who is in, you know, these feature length movies, who, you know, goes to the, you know, awards shows, and just like all these like things that I thought I wanted. And then I would read it and I was like, okay. So then the next day I come back, write again what I thought I wanted. And then over time I was just kind of like, this is not, like, when I read this and when I write it, like, it doesn't make me feel good. It doesn't make me feel happy. It doesn't make me feel like this is what I want. So then I was like, this is not what I want. I don't want to be an actor. I guess I just thought I did because I was doing it for so long and it just wasn't making me happy anymore. So I was like, okay, well, what do I want? So then that's when it kind of started, and I was like, I love learning. Like, I love learning skills. I just love it. And I love teaching. And I love just kind of, you know, defying myself and being like, I can do that, even though I maybe thought I couldn't do that, but I can do it. So that's kind of what I wrote down. You know, I want to be able to practice skills every day, and I want to be able to make a living off of it. So then from that sort of stemmed YouTube, and it kind of all came together after that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, everything was sort of pushing me towards YouTube and making these videos and doing stuff like that.
One thing that I want to ask you personally, if we were just at a bar without recording this conversation, I would ask you this question.
Wait, time's out. I cannot hear you.
Okay. I think we're good now.
Okay.
some technical difficulties there. But you were talking about that movie before we got disconnected.
Yeah. You were asking me, you were going to ask me something. I had finished saying that I was just writing down everything that...
Oh, yes. Gotcha. I'm back now. So you were talking about what, like, starting your YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And is it... I guess, how do you, so like, I've tried starting a couple things, mm-hmm. and it's just always tough when you first start, because there's not just like the fear of failure, but you're doing it publicly with people who know you. And so how do you get over that yourself? How are you just like, whatever, just do it?
I guess that's always a struggle with anything, but I definitely feel that acting helped a lot with that, being in front of an audience, because, you know, as an actor, you're really vulnerable no matter what you're doing, because everyone's judging you at all times, because that's, you're put there to be judged, really, you know, by your looks, by the way you're acting, by the person you're portraying. And so I feel like that really made me have a thicker skin. And I don't know, with the YouTube channel, of course that crossed my mind, but the thing that overpowered that was that I wanted to do it so bad, you know? And it was just kind of like, you know what? Screw it. Who cares if people are like, what is she doing? Like, that's so ridiculous. She's, you know, she's 29 years old. Like, she needs to get a real job, you know? Like, of course, we've all heard that before, especially people in the arts, but it's really, it doesn't matter. Who cares?
Yeah. So something that I think people are curious at this point, how do you make money?
Okay. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Lots of different ways. Now, a little bit better than before, but before it was kind of job to job, you know, survival jobs are what they called it. So like serving, you know, working front desk at something, which I was doing for a while in New York. And then here, I said, I'm not going to get back into serving. So then I started working at an escape room, which was really cool. But everybody who worked there was 18, 19, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, like, what am I doing? And like I said, after I kind of wrote down exactly what I wanted, that's when everything sort of just started shifting. The universe just started shifting. Things kind of fell into place. And I got an amazing job at a toy company because I love playing with toys. And yeah, so they are a company and they've made a toy called Orbeez. Have you ever heard of Orbeez? They're these little bitty balls and you put them in water and they grow.
Oh, okay.
So they've made Orbeez. They've made this toy called Cutie Sticks. They've made this toy called Pom Pom Wow. And they have YouTube channels. So basically what I do is I like create content for them. So I do all their YouTube channels. So if you haven't seen it, I'm on the How to Wow show. My character's name is Max. And we like, I've been like 100 episodes already. And,
wow.
But they're geared towards kids. So basically what I do is I have this, the crafting toy and I craft, I use this toy to craft different things. And, it's pretty cool.
That sounds fun. So do you prepare what you're going to craft or do you just kind of do it on the fly or do you practice?
Yeah. So before I started working there, I was just filming for them. So there would be somebody else who was crafting and then being like, okay, here's what you're going to say you made. But then now I craft my own things and then I, you know, I'm in front of a camera and I like kind of just come up with, they're like, here, yeah, I don't know, you figure it out. And so that's kind of fun, you know, to be creatively free. And to get to play with toys and to get to set design. And it's just a really fun job.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
So how did you find that job?
Acting. So I applied to be their, I guess they called it a host. So I was their YouTube host. And that's how it started. And then they offered me, you know, do you want to work here more? And I'm like, yeah, totally. So it really like worked out. It's fun.
That's really cool. So that's how you're making money for the most part?
Yeah, that and
is
then
in that YouTube channel.
Yeah, that and then I teach circus on the weekends.
You teach circus on the weekends? That's so cool. So what do you teach when you teach circus?
Right now currently I teach silks and trapeze. I used to do like juggling and like more ground stuff, but now here in Los Angeles it's more air stuff.
Okay. So what ground stuff would you teach?
Juggling, spinning plates. That's fun.
You can spin plates?
Yeah.
Dude.
I have, oh no, they're in the car actually. Spinning plates, tight wire, what else? Hula hoops. I'm not very good at hula hooping though. Maybe I'll get better. Maybe I'll learn it.
So... yeah, when did you learn trapeze? You should definitely do a learn it on Hula Hoops, by the way. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Trapeze and silks were some. So I just applied for this job out here because I was like, oh, circus. And I wrote them. I was like, you know, I don't know anything about silks or trapeze, but I do know things about juggling and stuff. And they were like, you know what? We'll teach you. So I was like, okay. So literally, they have just been teaching me. And so I'm teaching as I'm learning, basically, which is, you know, awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, it helps you retain it. Probably helps people who are new to it learn, because mm-hmm. you're like, oh, watch out for this. You know, I did this and it sucked. Or,
yeah, exactly.
You know, dude, that's fun. That sounds like a cool job.
It's
so what?
Awesome.
What age group do you teach?
We do as little as 4 years old, and then up to like 11 or 12.
Oh, that must be cool.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm always around kids, which is great. It makes me stay, you know, young and grounded.
Kids are fun.
They are fun.
And kids are, like, very fearless. They'll just try stuff.
They are. Yeah. And every now and then you'll get a kid who is fearful for some reason. I don't know why. I'm like, you're so young. But it's always fun to be, kind of show them, you don't need to be scared. I promise everything will be okay. You know, right. And see that switch in their brain is really awesome.
Gotcha. So you teach circus stuff, and one thing that when I saw this on your Instagram, I flipped my shit.
Oh.
You juggled with Penn Jillette, right?
Mm. Sorry, I'm drinking water.
How the fuck did that happen?
Oh man, that was a miracle.
How did you do that?
Well,
that's crazy.
Keith?
I just saw him on your Instagram, and I was like, is she? Is this real? Like, what am I even watching right now?
I was, like, so nervous. So Keith got us tickets to go see Penn and Teller on Broadway when we were living in New York City. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, I've always loved Penn and Teller. Like, I've always loved the showmanship and just them in general, you know. They're bomb.
They're great.
And so I was like, oh, my God. Like, it's always, like, I've always wanted to meet them for one thing. And now that I can juggle, like, I have to juggle with Penn because I know he can juggle. And so I just reached out to him on Twitter, and I was like, it would be my dream. Like, you would literally make my dreams come true if you juggled with me. And then he wrote me back and was like, okay, bring your clubs. And I was like, oh, what? So, yeah, I brought my clubs, and my clubs are like the big ones, you know, the pins, as people call them. We call them clubs in the juggling community. And we saw the show. It was amazing. And then afterwards, you know, they came out and they gave, like, autographs. They were so cool. Like, some of the coolest people, you know, celebrities, really. Just, like, really sweet. And Penn saw me with my juggling clubs, and I was like, I brought them. And he was like, okay, let's do it. And he had some. And so we juggled. We passed. And I was, like, shaking. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. I'm, like, shaking, and my hands are sweaty. And, you know, he's so tall, and I'm 4'10".
Yeah.
So our height difference was really incredible, and it was, like, kind of hard to adjust to pass, you know? But after a couple of tries, we did it, and we had an audience watching us, you know, and that was really cool, too.
That's awesome. Dude, that's a crazy – yeah, that's an amazing experience, I bet.
Yeah.
I mean, just to meet them would be amazing.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
They seem like just nice guys.
If they ever have a show, I know they're performing right now, so if they ever have a show that goes over there, you should definitely go.
I'll do
that. And then stay after, because they always sign autographs.
That'd be awesome. They're great. I love their show Bullshit.
Yeah.
That's like one of my favorite shows in the world.
Yeah.
And then their new show called Fool Us.
Yeah.
Do you watch that? I love it. I learned magic. Like some magic. I forget what it's called.
Sleight of hand.
Well, yeah, like sleight of hand, but what's it called? Like up close, whenever
close
they're up close
and close
you do
magic.
It. Yeah, some close up magic. I learned a lot of that when I was a teacher, because I would do it for my students.
Oh,
and then,
cool.
Yeah, then I started doing it at bars to get girls' numbers or to get like free drinks.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Believe it or not, girls do not think magic is cool.
I think
so
I'm one of the only few girls that thinks magic is cool. So,
hey, man, you got to try. You know, you got to put yourself out there. But, but then I started doing it for like drinks or whatever, but I learned I personally, I don't like tricks where you have to have a setup, right? I like tricks that you can kind of do off the cuff.
Totally.
You just get a deck of cards and you can do something with them just without anything. You know, you can just do magic in front of someone. You don't have to prep anything. You don't have to distract them. And well, I actually like that too, where you distract them and set a deck up, but that's really difficult. You know, things with coins, stuff like that. So it's
I love magic.
Yeah, but they were one of the big reasons because I saw their cups and balls trick.
Oh,
and that's
yeah.
just one of my favorite tricks.
That's a cool one. That cool sleight of hand is like so quick, you know, and that's an art within itself is like to have these quick hands.
Yeah, and it's cool because they tell you what they're doing the whole time and you can't follow
it. I know, it's amazing.
Like like you watch it over and over and you're like, I don't know how. One, they're in sync. Like he says it and Teller does it the same every time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then it's quick. It's so fast and fluid and smooth. And I mean, you can tell they just rehearse it till it's
perfect. Well, I mean, they've been partners since they were like early 20s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty amazing.
Have you ever seen Teller's his shadow trick?
Oh, I feel like we saw that in the show. If you can remind me what it is, maybe I can remember.
Yeah, so he did it. It was one of his first tricks when he was younger. He projected... he mentioned it in his documentary, in a documentary about him, but he projected the shadow of, like, a plant that was on his desk onto a wall.
Oh, yeah, and then he draws it or something? Stage.
He takes a knife, and he'll cut a leaf, and the leaf will fall off the plant that's behind him. And you'll see the leaf fall down, but he'll cut the shadow.
Oh, we did see something like that. For some reason, I felt like it was a tiny bit different, but I just don't remember what it was. I feel like he had drawing with it as well, but I don't know. But that's pretty amazing.
Maybe. I mean, I've never seen it live. I've only seen what's on YouTube, so. Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah, that's sick, though. The fact that you did, that's crazy.
They're nuts. They're so nuts. Actually, there's, have you ever heard of the Magic Castle?
No.
There's a Magic Castle out here in Los Angeles. It's just this huge castle where people just do magic at it. And you have to get really fancy. You have to be dressed up really fancy. And then you go and you just watch hours and hours worth of magic. Like in every room there's magic. There's people walking around doing magic. I mean, it's just incredible.
I would lose my shit if I went there.
You would. It's so cool. Keith and I went for our anniversary and we were just like, what in the world? Like everywhere you go, it was just crazy. And actually my boss right now at the toy company, he was a famous magician and now he owns this toy company.
Whoa, what's his name?
His name is Jim. What's his last name? JMP is his magic.
JMP is his magic name. I'll look him up after this.
Look
I love
him
magic.
On YouTube for sure.
We'll do. So you got that going. What's the social media you want to get out? Because I feel like I'm going to ask you a lot of questions and forget. So what's all your social media handles?
Okay, so my Instagram is at Felicia Marie the First, and right now my YouTube is Learn It with Felicia Marie. I think if you type in Learn It with Felicia Marie, I'll come up.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And that's really it. Oh, my Twitter, which I'm not really on a lot, is at underscore hi Felicia.
Okay. And then Clean It Up LA.
Clean Up LA with a K.
Clean Up LA with a K. Cool. Yeah. And I'll make sure to share all those out on the blog, you know, for people to be able to click on them a little bit easier. But no, that's nuts that you've just done all that stuff. I think that's so cool. I think one thing that I admire about what you're doing is that we come from the same place and we don't like drama. There are so many kids in our hometown who love drama, but I don't think anyone takes the step out to like go try something in theater or acting.
Yeah.
And I think you're the only one that I know of that did that.
Oh man, that's cool. You know, and I just like the influence from Monahan's helped, whether it was, you know, good and bad for sure, you know, to help you kind of just be like, I need something bigger than this, you know?
Have you ever bombed on stage?
Oh my God.
In an acting game?
Totally. Yeah. Film is harder to bomb because, you know, you get take after take after take, which is why it's not necessarily my favorite. But theater for sure, you know, it's like you get the one chance. And if you forget a line, like, you have to figure it out. You can't be like, oh, wait, I don't know my line. Like, you have to just kind of figure it out. And that's definitely happened to me before. And I've never been like, you know, I just sort of said something that wasn't in the script or, you know, improv. Just figured it out.
Okay.
But still, you know, that's scary. That's kind of like a failure to yourself where you're like, why did my mind betray me, you know?
Think failure is good.
Definitely.
I mean, I think it's important for people to know that when you're on stage or when you're performing, it's not always good. It doesn't always go well.
Exactly.
There are times where it's just not a good performance or it wasn't a good show or something happens and
totally.
You know, you just keep trucking along. Well, I mean, I think we've been talking for over an hour now, maybe.
Way.
Let me check. I don't want to keep you too long. I want to respect your time. But man, it was good talking to you. We should keep in touch more.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And you're always welcome if something happens and you want to come on and record a podcast. You're always welcome to.
Okay, cool.